What did you do to them?
Lots of things.
And they seem to like these things?
Yes, my lord.
We're going to need details.
Welcome to Talk Sex with Podrick Payne, the Lux Wing Channel's very own Game of Thrones podcast. The way this is going to work, guys, is the first half, we're going to be your small council and only focus on the TV universe and mostly be discussing and recapping this past week's episode of Game of Thrones. Second half, I'm going to bring in some maesters and fellow book readers between book spoilers, book comparisons, and wonderful amounts of nerdy speculation. So make sure to check out the description and look carefully at the time code of the section you may or may not want to listen to. So sit back, my lord, relax, and thank you for listening.
Do you like being called the sex god of the show?
I don't see how anybody would not enjoy that.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Talk Sex with Podrick Payne. This time, we're going to do our episode recap only and no book speculations, but stay tuned for that later. I'm your host, Steven Toyofuku, here with
Joey Kern.
What up, guys? Again, sorry for the tardiness, just life problems.
Yeah, we, one of the aforementioned hosts has a real job now, so now it's a little bit more challenging to, get the crew together.
With the reverse schedule of your guys' schedules.
Yes, that's true. Working in the dev night is not, doesn't help you out, but anyway.
But, moving on, Game of Thrones, episode 3. I can't, it's so upsetting there are only 7 more episodes left. It's like,
already lamenting. You have 7 more hours. You have 7 more hours of content. That's so much time for shit to get real.
That's true.
Yeah. So, lead us off. What do you want to talk about first?
Okay. So, obviously, I think we need to talk about this very, as you put it, soft, Davos, so soft moment between.
Oh, yeah. No, Davos, Davos was again showing us why he has the best soft skills in all of Westeros. He may not be the best warrior. He might not have the resume in terms of the, being in an official advisory role.
Nope.
But, he's the dude you want on your side for a pep talk because, for some reason, Melisandre wasn't able to get it up when she was trying to, get her resurrection game in gear. He had to talk her up and then, he just had to, talk Kit Harington, a.k.a. Jon Snow, back from the edge after he gets resurrected and, proceeds in, breathing heavily for, 30 seconds. So... We all owe Davos a big pat on the back for stopping us from having to watch just Kit Harington go for fucking an hour. Yeah.
Although I think a lot of people were mad that he cloaked him less Kit Harington nudity.
Alas.
Alas, right?
When you say some people, do you mean you?
Yeah.
Also, Kit Harington's hello just finally got, he did the classic Game of Thrones actor move where it's you have an ass / back scene going on and you just get hella swole.
It's oh, look at all my back muscles when I just move my shoulders backwards.
Yeah,
Ramsay did that too.
Yo, Ramsay did the exact same thing. Ramsay was just a little torp. Welsh dude, and then all of a sudden he's diesel as fuck. It just happened overnight. It was all of a sudden, dude. It was intense, but.
I guess my big thing about the new Davos stuff is he just seems to kind of have, I feel some imaginary thread pulling him to make all these decisions, and I don't understand what the motivation is.
For Davos?
Yeah, well, it's because. He realizes Stannis is dead, and I still don't understand how he hasn't realized that Melisandre is responsible for burning this girl he cares about.
Oh, dude, I think Davos and Jon are on the same page, and this is a rare one, particularly within the show, the Game of Thrones show, there are just so few characters who are, willing to look... It's not even really big picture. It's more just paying attention to the impending doom. Mm-hmm. There are so few characters who are man... A lot of zombies up there. We're really going to we're going to need to get organized and really figure our shit out. And I feel as though Davos is one of those people. Mm. Where it's everybody else is no, I want to squabble pettily for the next 2 years.
Fuck the wildlings.
And then be killed by a zombie.
No, that's fair. I guess he is the one that, gets Stannis to go north. He brings him the news about one lad made it back and what that boy saw. It's Melisandre's yep, White Walker's coming. Let's go north.
Yeah, so, I finally agree with you.
I guess there's that. I just
whatever. I it's not like I'm not enjoying what I'm watching. I guess the part of me is just like,
yeah, and for
seems to like have a little more going on there than like I just don't
for
know
me I just think from. I just think Davos and John's relationship, a lot of it's just like game recognize game and
you practical know, recognize practical.
Yeah, and he's like, Davos is like, he knows like Jon Snow needs like, you know, homeboy needs some assistance, and he's just going to do it. Not to mention like, if you're gonna throw in your, I mean, if you're a person who's been described as reasonable and, like, honestly smart as Davos is, like, compared to the rest of them, it's like, he hasn't, like, you know, basically Davos is just like, just because you don't learn to read doesn't mean you're not a smart guy. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. When you're looking, like, when the power of judgment is on your side and you look at, like, John on one hand and what he's doing and then, like, fucking Ollie and all those guys on the other side, it's like, you know, I mean, I don't know, any normal person is gonna be like, yeah, dude, those guys are fucking crazy racists, like, we hate them.
That's a good way to look at it.
And he was just kind of like there. I mean, he's in a situation, and I feel as though Davos is always just gonna be like, he's not gonna scheme unless it's like, all right, like, here I am in this room, like,
forgive me, my lord, for what you're about to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, all right, I think I'm fine. I'm fine with that understanding of it. And then we move to, do we move to King's Landing after that?
I mean, let me see. We have the scene with Davos, and then, I mean, we could just go to the King's Landing scene, which I think, you know, brings a couple things to light, mainly, you know.
Well, I mean, I just feel like we don't need to go into great detail of, like, Jon coming out, Tormund being like, oh, they think you're a god, but I saw your dick, so...
Yeah, that was...
Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, this... Which, actually, you know...
Hug it out.
Yeah, hug it out after somebody makes a comment. It's like, your pecker's too small. Like, but, although that actually is a... That's one of those weird situations where the show actually does align with the books, because Tormund in the books, that's like pretty much all he ever says.
Yeah.
He's like always talking about dicks. Like, if Freud existed in the Game of Thrones universe, he would have a lot to say about Tormund, but it's like a lot of comments about, you're prettier than me daughters and your dick is hella small, but it's like, what do you actually have to say, Tormund? Come on. Enough with the throat clearing. Let's get to the actual show.
Actually, props to that actor too, because there's a in the one of the DVD extras where he talks about like the North and giants, he like narrates this whole story how he like was nursed by a giant when he like cut open her belly for warmth, and like obviously that actor just kills that story just so well.
Tight.
It's like, oh yeah, I'm actually from a very cold place.
Respect.
Oh wait, Sweden. Whatever, one of those countries.
They all seem cold.
The peninsula.
The Nordic peninsula.
Okay.
But moving to King's Landing.
I guess we go there after a lot of other shit. I'm sorry.
I mean, we go to Meereen at some point. Do you want to talk about Meereen?
I guess, because we can talk about that very quickly.
Well, that's, I don't know. I think the Meereen is my favorite scene of the episode.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, the scene with Varys is my favorite scene of the episode. Okay. Where he's just like...
That is Leet.
He's just basically, yeah, he's just flexing his... Oh, say a bunch of nice things in a soft way, but like, I'm just really just like threatening you, it's with like, your daughter as leverage.
Son, yeah. Dom. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't speak the language. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yeah, yeah.
I just love how that scene starts with what's the actor's name? Is like Connolith Hill. Whatever. Lord Varys is literally just like fanning himself at the seat of a throne. Which is just the perfect where he belongs.
Yeah, it's like vintage Varys. And like, as much as that plotline has diverged from the books, getting Varys and Tyrion to Meereen was, like, the only thing that could possibly have saved that fucking place.
Oh, of course. As much as I love Ser Barristan Selmy, and as much as I wish he was still fucking alive, watching just him try to deal with this situation, just, like, America would not have it.
Yeah, no.
It's like, why are we watching this old... Where's Daenerys? Why are we watching this old dude? It's like... Well, the old dude's a really good actor, and he's a badass.
Watching the old dude, like, confer with, like, various, like, unnamed in the show.
Yeah.
Like, secretaries.
And then I love how I feel like Varys and Varys less so, but Tyrion goes between like really meaty scenes and just this filler crap where it's just like, oh, you're slaves, and I don't know how to communicate with you.
Yeah.
I think his best line though is definitely, I think he's like, we don't drink until you do.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, yeah, I probably would have said the same thing.
He Yeah, which is also weirdly true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, ooh, so you've never gotten wasted before? Because once you do, you're going to love it.
You're going to love it.
Patrol ain't got nothing on this shit.
Your conversations aren't going to be about Patrol. Patrol lead.
Also, again, I feel so I harp on this every time, but dude, the Grey Worm Missing Day thing.
Do you not like it?
No, it's garbage.
But it's hilarious.
Like, they're like both important, and I don't want either of them to die, but I kind of do, just because that romantic plot line is such a waste of my time.
It's hilarious garbage. Like, Grey Worm is describing what they talk about, like, Patrol, what we see on Patrol. Like, if you look at Missandei's face, she's, like, smiling. Like, oh, yeah, that is what we talk about. It's like, that's awful.
Yeah. It's like, your boyfriend is, like, got a one-track mind. Two-stoned Nintendo. Yeah.
But I guess the meat of this is Sons of the Harpy, controlled by the good masters of Astapor, the wise masters of Yunkai, and some cunts in Volantis.
Yeah, and like,
excuse me, sorry.
And the unnamed debags of Volantis, yeah. Like neither wise nor good. But
I guess it makes sense, because like, the when we actually are there for the one time in the show, and like what Talisa tells Rob about like the slave that saved her brother, like, I guess Volantis is pretty awful and slavey, as it is in the books, too.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Volantis in the books, they're described as having, like, there's, like, 5 slaves for every person, or that's some awful, ridiculous, like, number. Like, some ridiculous number that could only possibly have been, you know, that could only possibly have been conceived by, you know, George R.R. Martin, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you know, like, because he's like, oh, classic, like, fantasy hyperbole, like, oh, how tall is Gregor Clegane? 8'3". You know, like... Like, how in the books, I'm pretty sure Robert Baratheon is, like, 7'4 or something.
Just yeah.
Preposterous.
But then, like, somehow, with you know, the fatness, he's, like, shrunk.
Yeah, I guess.
Somehow.
I don't know. But he's, like, this, like, I don't know. The way people are described, there's so much hyperbole, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, also when... So, Varys figures out from basically just, like, you know, on the low key, just, like... I don't know, torture whispering this person.
Yeah.
Stop. Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. Oh, God. Stop making that stupid feather gesture.
They should rename the episode to just saw.
No, boo. Yeah, I don't know. Finding out that they're funded is kind of like, all right. But, like, and also, like, what are they buying them? Just, like, the knives and the masks?
Yeah.
Or I guess the masks look shiny.
I don't know, because it's like,
I don't know,
they keep saying, like, war burns up, like, gold, and I just don't understand, like, a lot of these people have this, yeah, like,
how... It seems like it's just their clothes, a mask, and a knife.
And it's like, the knives aren't nice, they're not like, oh, we sent you a bunch of fresh steel, it's just like, no, we sent you some rust, and it works out.
Yeah, I mean, they just, like, it seems like manpower is their main thing.
Maybe it's more like confidence, like, you know, if someone's backing you, like...
Maybe.
If you have to, like, leave the city, you have these backers. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's me trying to make sense of a fake thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, she never actually tried to do. It's like, oh, but yet we're doing it now.
It was so fun.
Yeah. But, I mean, from a plot development perspective, what that means is they're, you know, they're foreshadowing...
A battle.
Something, some sort of battle slash problem coming from any slash all of those cities that are mentioned as funding the Sons of the Harpy or whatever.
Well, and then, boom, flashed to Daenerys.
Yep.
Trav in Vyas Dothrak.
Yeah, classic Vyas Dothrak or whatever. But, yeah, getting a dose of real talk from unnamed
ex-Khaleesi,
yeah. You know, 5.
I'm glad it wasn't, like...
What do you think of that scene?
I, you know what? I respect the fact that it wasn't just, like, these Dothraki women, like, browbeating her that was basically, like, the wives of the Call in, like, episode 1. It's like, oh, cut her head off. Evil.
Yeah.
Like, or... And it wasn't just like, oh, you... Like, she's kind of being very practical. It's like, hey, yeah... I remember you. You ate the horse heart and your husband's dead.
Oh, I remember you with the horse heart and the hair. For sure. Welcome back.
And it's like, but, you know, like, I do that ceremony for a lot of people. Like, I've said, you know, to a lot of calls and Khaleesi's like, oh, yeah, your kid's gonna kill everyone, rule the world. Fuck yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, it's true. It really, I actually thought the reason they were going to Vyas Dothrak in the first place was to get some, like, really sweet, to get some more of that mysticism, but after hearing that chick talk, it seems like it's just a crock of shit.
So. Yeah, it just seems like it's...
yeah, it's like, I don't know, you know, the men make us feed people horse hearts, and we have to wave around a bunch and be like, oh, the stallion, and everyone just has a fucking heart attack and, you know, call it a good.
But they have added an interesting element that, you know, not in the books yet, because this hasn't happened yet, it's fake, it might never happen.
Yeah.
But something where, like, all the calls... The Khalasars are gathering to decide where they're gonna just fuck up.
Oh yeah, the which cities are we going to like plunder this year?
Yeah.
Meeting.
Do they have large maps? Like, I'd love to see. They don't have writings, so like, how do they figure this out?
I mean, I'm guessing that they're just gonna have like a painted table scenario, like all
that they've passed down from generations,
or yeah, that they've either done, or I mean, I don't know, what do the Dosh Kaleen do in their spare time? Maybe they paint.
Yeah, God, yeah. What do you do just in the only city that's just? They did make
draw
it
maps, I guess. Yeah, maybe
I couldn't tell. Is the city that big, or is it just that big because there are a ton of Khalasars heading there right now? It looked a lot bigger than it did in season one.
I don't know. I mean,
the budget's also bigger now.
In the books, they also, I mean, what they imply from the books is that, like, there aren't that many people. Pretty much it's just a bunch of girls most of the time. And, like, but there's also, like, traders that come through. Uh-oh. And it's, like, big enough so that, hypothetically, at any point in time, every single Khalasar could, like, be there simultaneously.
Mm.
So they, like, you know... They plan just in case, but I think it's like typically like pretty like empty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prediction for this whole scenario, I definitely think next episode Daario and Jorah are going to show up. They're not going to rescue her, and then Drogon's going to show up and burn a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean that's
I like foresee the way they wove the marine, you know, Tyrion finding out who's behind everything, and then, you know, Daenerys getting to Vyas Dothrak and finally that all the Khalasars are going to be there. I think it's definitely, like, I hope we get to see, like, a Dothraki army ride down some slavers in, like, Slaver's Bay. Just, like, cavalry blast through, like, whatever force they send over, and then just, like, Drogon burn a city.
That would be... No, I mean...
Is that reaching too much for the stars? I feel like this is the season of dreams. Cause
yeah, maybe.
There's not enough people to just fuck over anymore without, like, destroying your audience.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say what they're going to do. I mean, I'm wondering if, like, it's going to be a situation where they... where Jorah and Daario... For some reason, I think this might happen. Like, where it's, like... Jorah and Daario, like, walk in on, like, a favorable situation and make it suck. You know, like, maybe the call's on me and they're like, oh, like, maybe we'll just help you. and then, like, Daario and, like, Jorah come up and are like, rawr, free her. And she's like, no.
Yeah, it's cool.
I don't know, it feels like I've seen that situation.
And then they punch Jorah and find out he has grayscale and then they kill him because I'm so dumb.
Yeah, because why not?
I like that actor, though. I don't want to see him just deal with this stupidness.
Yeah, I've also got to say, like, I understand that at this point that he has grayscale, and I understand that it's spreading, like, medium quickly, but also, like, the fact that now, like, multiple times per scene, I need to get, like, he, like, lifts his arm sleeve up for, like, 5 seconds. I'm like, you know, I don't know, that's time better spent elsewhere.
I agree.
It's like, we all get
Stop trying to make buddy comedies. Like, it only worked with the Hound and Arya and Pod and Brienne.
And they've tried to just reproduce it over and over and
actually,
over.
Jaime and Bronn work, just not where they sent them.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll actually say this, buddy, partnering Davos and Jon was a good call, too.
Yeah.
I think that they're two of the better, you know, people on the show.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. And adding Melly in there, too, pretty formidable trio. Although I'm not necessarily sure if they're going to pal around after Jon just, like, rage quit at the end of the episode.
Yeah, We'll come back to that, because okay. I have some questions over whether you think he actually, like, left the castle, or just, like, as someone put it in another podcast, went to his room.
Word.
Because, like, I feel like he wouldn't just leave Castle Black. Okay, well, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
Like, we have to talk about
King's Landing?
Do you want to do that and then Tower of Joy?
Okay, let's do King's Landing then.
Because then, like, from Vaze being his awesome self to boom. Qyburn talking to children and giving them candy.
Yeah, exactly. And then, which actually is your first show insight into, like, who Varys's, like, it's like network of information is.
Yeah.
It's like Varys's network of information, like surprise, is just like a bunch of little kids that he like pays well and gives like money to. And just kind of is like, hey, like if you hear anything, like holler at your boy, and he's just like kind of like nice and obsequious and gives him candy. And so they like him because they're starving poor kids. And nobody pays attention to them because they're starving poor kids. Which is you know, kind of a parallel with what you know, what the High Sparrow did with all of his shitty little minions, you know, just kind of being like, hey, like, poor people who don't necessarily have, like, a place in this world that the other people have built without you, like, I have a role for you to play, and I'll, like, help you out a little bit if, you know, if you need it.
If you need it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, nice, you can, like, derive a lot of power by just kind of appealing to people who might not necessarily, you know, wield that typically. And we get a little bit more High Sparrow action after the Qyburn scene as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think in earlier seasons, the child who delivers Jorah, who's like, Jorah, the end-all, and hands him the pardon, is a kid. Mm-hmm. And the one who hands the pardon to Barrist and Selmy to expose Jorah in a later season is also a kid. So I guess they've hinted at that, which is a little nice.
But, yeah.
Qyburn's not on the small council right now, clearly, right?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even think Cersei and Jaime really are, as you can see from that scene where they, like, roll in, and basically everyone's like, Cersei, there's, like, no reason for you to be here. And then Jaime's like, ooh, but I should be here.
Lord Commander.
And also, we have this giant zombie that somehow you were okay with making a member of the Kingsguard, but now all of a sudden you're talking to Olenna Tyrell. And also, like, I understand, like, that, like, grandma, like, butthurt is, like, very, like, secure in her, like, situation. But, I don't know. I would have toned it down a little bit if I were her. It's pretty obvious that that chick's days are numbered. I think she's gonna die in the next episode.
Oh, Olenna?
Yeah.
Oh, I could see
that. And this is not me having any spoilers or anything. I just think that she's just, like, beyond fucked.
Like, yeah, I think a Tyrell, and I hope it's not Loras or Margaery, has to die because I think we're going to see the Reach in action. Like, I think we've seen Reach pikemen in King's Landing in a trailer. So, I really like the Queen of Thorns, though.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the scene is mostly, it just felt like filler.
Yeah, but I mean, it also, like, foreshadows, like, or it brings in a plot point from the books that was lacking insofar as, like, there's a big tension between Cersei, Jaime, and then just kind of like Kevin acting as Hand and like the other people with whom he's associating. Cersei and Jaime being like, this is our party. Our son is the king, but you know, Jaime can't say that,
yeah.
And then you know, Olenna being like, oh, but Margaery's the queen, and since Tommen's never the one who's actually making these assertions, because Tommen's a little bitch.
Which they did a very good job within this episode where he's just like getting manipulated by the High Sparrow. It's just like, hey.
Yeah.
We're all friends. I'm old. I need to sit down. I'm sorry.
Have a seat over here.
He basically, like, you know how Tywin has that speech with him after Joffrey dies?
Oh, yeah.
He basically did the same thing, but like Jonathan Pricey.
Oh, yeah, no, and that's kind of what the whole problem with King's Landing right now is, just like Tommen's so ineffectual because he just listens to whoever the last person is who like talked to him. Like, if you're willing to talk to him for more than like 30 to 40 seconds, like he'll agree with anything that you have to say. It's like, oh, I see the wisdom in that. Like, he pretty much, like, I mean, he went to the step just to, like, fuck this dude up, right?
Yeah.
And then he just didn't.
And it's like,
because he's a little pussy. He should just send people to do it for him.
Yeah.
Like,
Jaime had it right. Like, why can't we just send him in and smash the High Sparrow's head like a melon?
Yeah. There's a compelling argument to be made for that.
Yeah.
And also, love Jonathan Pryce, you know? And I kind of like, it's interesting because I kind of like the High Sparrow, but all of his little, like, sparrowlings are just the worst.
Nightmare.
Like, they suck. I hate the little, like, the Faith Militant is the worst. And the way they've done it in the show is awful.
Even worse.
Yeah, they're, like, even worse than they are in the books, and they were terrible.
Well, because part of the Faith Militant in the books, there's, like, the Warrior's Son component who are, well, like, they're not just one entity. They're the Poor Fellows, which is basically the show of Faith Militant.
Yeah.
And then the Warrior's Sons, which are, like, more, they're basically like knights almost,
they're basically right? Just like rich ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have like armor, horses, and swords
and aren't complete douches.
Yeah, whereas the Poor Fellows kind of just like, you know, they like They carve their heads open and just run around and just like spill all the wine out in like notorious. Yes. Yeah, it's like you guys don't get prostitutes or alcohol anymore because we're the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible. It's kind of like if, you know, Puritans like close down your local bar, you know, how happy would you be?
The worst. Like, I wonder how many other people are like in like the Sept of Baylor just like being like basically suffering like as Loras and Marjorie, just like, ugh, confess. Like, yeah. How are those cells just like full of sinners?
Yeah, or are the only people who are like worthy of like getting the, you know, mean nun treatment like Marjorie and Cersei? And also, Marjorie's in jail for perjury. Why doesn't she just like chill? I don't know. Like,
yeah,
be like, oh yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Actually,
is it because if she says that, are they gonna like kill Loras or something?
Yeah, I think it's connect. It's probably connected to like she's protecting her brother.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but it's still.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like the fact that she's still in there and Cersei's walking around is rather dubious.
Yeah, because in the book she's in there for adultery, right?
Yeah, in the book she's accused of adultery by Cersei. For like ridiculous things,
yeah,
like accused of like banging like five people as her cousins watched and like made and like masturbated, like that's how effed up it is. That's like Cersei's like grand story.
Yeah, George, it's like, George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, George R. R. Martin. Jesus. Like,
okay, so but I guess another major plot point that I really hate was brought up here is when Jaime just goes like, these are the women that had killed House Martell and taken over Dorne. It's like, how have three bastards taken over, four bastards taken over Dorne?
Yeah.
Like,
that's stupid.
Like, if it was Arryn Martell, okay.
Who doesn't exist.
This is the character that was cut. There's like the family name connection. Like, House Martell isn't dead.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, women are ruling it, which is tight in its own right.
Yeah.
Fact that they affirmed what happened there in King's Landing just then just upset me a little more.
Yeah, I would think, like, at this point in time, like, Martell, like, the Dorne would be in an all-up revolt. And, like,
yeah,
probably the Ron Woods or whatever would be, like, in charge.
Yeah, which would be tight.
Which would be sick. And probably will happen.
And, like, Starfall would probably just declare independence.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, more speculation for later.
Indeed.
Before we go to Tower of Joy, the last thing I want to bring up is Cersei does mentions, like, he's only going to have to fight the... Sorry. Gregor Clegane, her Kingsguard, is only going to have to fight one... So do you think they're going to try set up a, like, trial by combat? Because she...
It's going to be. That was why he was brought to life in the first place.
Yeah.
It was because Cersei can't... Or because Jaime couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because Jaime's hand is... Because Jaime never learned to fight left-handed.
Because it's hard. It's hard.
Or bad.
I don't know. Once your muscle... whatever.
I don't know.
Talk about the semantics.
I want Jaime to get good at fighting again.
Yeah. You see him... I hope by, like, episode 6 he's... back in the Riverlands, trying to fish the Brendan Tully out of River Run.
Out of the river, yeah. Literally fish the person with the fish nickname out of the river, where fish live. Thank you, Riverlands, for loving fish so very, very much.
Tower of Joy.
Yeah.
So Bran's continuing with his... Is it green? It's like green sighting through the trees, or is he warging through the trees?
No, he's not warging or green seeing. Warging is actually specifically the term for like
animals. Okay,
but what he's doing is the same thing through trees. But what he actually is, so green seers are
green seers see the future and like they're like Jojen. Warg or skin change. He just like had visions.
Yeah, but he's. I don't know. It's hard to explain without getting down a big, deep rabbit hole. But essentially, like, when people refer to the old gods or whatever...
They talk about the werewolves.
They're referring to people like Bloodraven, who's, like, in the tree. That's who they're talking about. So when they're like, our gods don't have eyes in the south, it's like, oh, because we didn't carve faces on them. So, like, you know, the gods, which are literally people in trees with this, like, with the ability to do this thing, can't, like... see what's going on down there.
Okay.
So when they talk about that, it's like the old gods have power insofar as the old gods are just like people who are powerful people.
Chill.
Yeah.
The Blood Raven.
I think it's like sort Max of. Von Sydow. I think it's also sort of assumed that whatchamacallit, that like the children of the forest who are like just basically like, you know, tree elf squirrels.
Yeah.
Can like more or less do that kind of thing, but like not quite.
Not as well.
It's not like the same sort of thing.
Okay.
But they definitely have like magic in that vein. Just like the birds and the beast and the trees, that's the north.
Yeah. The rocks and the rivers and the stones.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know, Brynden Rivers, a.k.a. Blood Raven, a.k.a. Targaryen Bastard, a.k.a. Bran's obnoxious teacher and the worst person to watch a movie with ever.
No, we can't finish it. We can't. We gotta wait.
Sorry, we saw the cool fight scene anyway, so I'm just gonna turn it off.
Turn it off. Yeah. Well, I mean, they couldn't, like, bring Jon Snow back in an episode and then show the Tower of Joy and then be like, oh, guess who's in the tower?
Yeah, exactly. That would be, yeah, that would definitely be, that'd be the definition of giving it up way too quick.
Yeah.
Which is essentially all Bloodraven is, like, stopping them from doing. He's just like, no. We cannot reveal too much of this plot today.
But then I love how it turns into, like, oh, but, like, you do have to learn everything.
Yeah.
Like, well, I was trying to, and then you stopped me.
Yeah, but if you were to spend another 20 seconds in there, you never would have come back.
Yeah, you'd be like,
What do you mean you never would have come back? Like, it seems like the only person who determines whether or not Bran goes in or out of these dreams is you. You just walk up to him, you punch him on the face, and he's back. And he's like, no, but if you knew who your stepbrother's mom was... If you knew that your stepbrother's mom was your aunt, then you'd be stuck here forever.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah. But the Tower of Joy, I mean, the scene was great. I mean,
the fighting was
you gotta watch someone fight with two longswords, which is, like, impossible.
Yeah, they're so heavy.
Yeah. It's, like, the strongest man
in the universe. And he's in full plate mail.
Oh, yeah. He obviously, like, they obviously wanted to play into the fact that Arthur Dayne is super good at fighting as hard as humanly possible.
The casting call, again, heard from another podcast, shout out to Cast of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the casting call for this actor was just like, they didn't even really look for an actor, they're just like, role, greatest swordsman in the land, must be, like, looking for experienced swordsman.
Sick.
Yeah. And it paid off, that was... That made up for everything that happened in the water garden.
Yeah, and you got, like, you know, and just watching all those dudes get worked. It was interesting because, you know...
I got sad because, like, they're, like, Ned's friends.
It's also a 6-on-4 in...
6-on-3.
In the books. It's, like, it's a 6-on-3 in the books, and it's a 6-on-2 here, which is, like, even more nuts.
Yeah.
Well, it also, like, they kind of dealt with Ned. Props to Ned for just dispatching Gerald Hightower, who's supposed to, like, not be any slouch, you know?
Yeah, and he's the Lord Commander.
Yeah, he's the Lord. He was Lord High Commander of the Kingsguard, and he was, like, supposed to be a huge beast himself.
Yeah.
But Arthur Dayne was, like, supposed to be pretty much, like, a once-in-a-generation type. And that revealed itself by the fact that he was surrounded by 5 dudes and could not be touched.
Yeah.
They didn't even have any, like, ricochet off of the plate armor. It was like, nah, everything is dodged or parried always.
Like, I did like, though, Ned had a cool little parry with, like, his greave. Is that what it's called? Or greaves?
I don't know. No, bracers.
Bracers, yeah. He had a bracer. Oh, that was tight.
Yeah, I mean, it was obvious that Ned was, like, you know, a beast, which I like, because, you know, Ned in the books, too, is not a slouch.
Yeah.
Like, one of the best warriors in the realm. Probably top 10, but, like, more like 8.
He wasn't fighting with ice, though, in that scene, right? Because ice is a huge greatsword.
Yeah, okay. No, it definitely didn't seem like it was.
Just seemed,
unless they just wanted to make ice smaller because the actor couldn't carry the ice, which is, like, supposedly, like... Which, in the books, like, I was supposed to be, like, it's, like, comically large.
Yeah.
Like, way too big. But then they justify it by being like, oh, but since it's Valyrian steel, it's, like, really light. But, you know, in real life, that's not a thing.
It's the real world.
Yeah, so, like, 20-something actor probably wasn't going to be able to hack that unless they made it out of, like, paper mache.
Which looks shitty.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of the weapons, I think, are made of, like, composite, but, like, also a lot of metal, too.
Yeah, it's, like, I don't know, I'm sure those things weigh a ton, but...
Did you kind of like the parallel when, like, Howland stabs Sir Arthur in the back of the neck to all the way back to season 1, episode 5, The Wolf and the Lion, where Jaime and Ned are having this duel to the death and it's getting really intense, and then Ned just gets stabbed in the leg.
Mm.
And I only bring that up because the next episode allegedly, if it were the book, would be the one where Ned has the dream about this scene, which is where we can talk about this because, you know, it's happening now, finally.
Yeah.
In the next episode, Ned seemingly wakes up from a fevered dream, you know, wounded from that street fight. So I just kind of like maybe there's a little parallel there. Maybe the writers thought about it.
Well, and you finally like get to know what the hell they're talking about, and they're like, oh, like, you know, Arthur Dayne would have killed me if not for Helland Reed.
Yeah.
But it's like, I always thought Helland Reed was going to do some just like prankster shit, which he kind of did.
He definitely did.
But I thought he was going to do like, because they always talk about like people from the neck being just like super whack in terms of how they fight. I was thinking like blow dart or like annoying whip.
Like, but didn't you fishnet, right?
Yeah, fishnet. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, I think when Mira describes the Crannog men, again, Game of Thrones extras, they're awesome. She describes, like, unlike our northern brethren, we beat our axes into fish hooks and our spears into, like, our tridents to fish. And it's like, awful. You're all short.
Yeah, yeah. We're all midgets and we live in the swamp.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not a great life. But also, Howland Reed being alive is amazing. He got, like, wrecked right at the beginning. Do you think it was maybe just shallow?
I think it was. I mean, like, the perfect movie shallow, like, where, like, it looks rough, but, like, it's probably...
Like cool. Finn at the end of Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Where it's like all along his spine, but you're like,
it's okay.
It must have been shell.
The jacket protected.
Yeah, exactly. His sweet like vintage/futuristic jacket.
Yeah. Well, then also fucking Kylo Ren got blasted with the bowcaster by Chewie, and the entire fight was just beating his side to like, I'm okay.
or to get like more like sweet dark side juice. Get angry, dude. sounds so weird.
I will have to say, Targaryen Kingsguard gear, I know it doesn't at all line up with the books, but the Targaryen Kingsguard, the silver with the dragon, looks way tighter than the gold shit Baratheon commissioned.
Yeah, true dad.
Props to costumes, or whatever, who does that shit.
Yeah, great job. But yeah, so anyway, I mean... Again, we see Bran get cut off, and then Bran get the sweet, sweet pep talk of, oh, don't worry, you don't have to stay here in the cave forever. You just have to stay in the cave until you learn everything.
What does it mean?
Which presumably is like, you know, the guy's probably like, oh, you know, like, I've, like, for instance, I can leave the cave whenever I want. I just need to learn everything, too, and it's just been a really long time. Yeah. It just takes you forever.
It's a century.
Yeah, and I can't learn everything because we have to do it in nice, like, consumable chunks for the,
otherwise we'll get trapped.
Viewing audience.
We'll be in a dream within your dream and dreams in limbo, blah, 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 the end of Inception.
Yeah, which I'm wondering also is maybe just like a metaphor for like the audience in that situation where it's like, no, you can't linger too long in the backstory.
Yeah.
Otherwise you won't be interested in the narrative that we're making. Like, yeah, the writing one day at a time. But I mean, anyway, though, do you want to get now real quick just to like how John rage quits?
Before we do that, I'm going to make the slight, because I do remember this scene I forgot earlier after the first John scene, is Sir Gerald Hightower was the one Ned killed in the Tower of Joy, and aren't the Hightower, House Hightower is based out of Old Town, right?
Yeah.
Where Sam and Gilly are, where Sam's going, right? He's going to the Citadel, and then he said he's taking Gilly to Hornhill.
Yep.
What, thoughts?
I mean, I don't know. We're just going to meet Sam's dad, who is a dick. Like,
yeah.
Who we've met in the books. We haven't met in the show. Spoiler alert, he's just a douche. I mean, he's not evil. He's just a douchebag.
We got a description from Sam. It's like, yeah, I'll kill you because you suck if you don't go join the wall and disinherit my land.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So he's just a bit of a, you know, he's a bit of a stiff, but he didn't just kill Sam. He gave him the option. He's not a sneak.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gee. Well, yeah, because, you know, honor. Knights are prancing around in the Reach everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, Randall Tarly, basically just, like, really good warrior, really mean dude. Described as being very, like, efficient, too.
Yeah.
There's, like, a scene in the book. There's a part in the books where he's, like, temporarily running this town that's just been getting its shit rocked. And he, like, he's, like, very, like, just in, like, a Stannis-y kind of way. Where it's just like, all right... This place is a shit show. Do you steal stuff? All right, I'm going to chop off your hands next. Like,
oh, yeah. And Fun fact, he's the only one that delivered Robert his only defeat in Robert's Rebellion back in the day.
Yeah. Right?
I don't remember where.
Yeah, other than, like, Mace, like, claims that he, like, won some battle, but it was just, like, not really true. as you could tell by just, like, I don't know, Mace Tyrell continuing to be on the show, just, like, farting and being useless. That like, we rewatched some episodes leading up to, like, the new season or whatever, and just, like, we rewatched that fucking scene where Mace Tyrell was, like, singing to the banker guy in Braavos, and it is so silly. It's so funny. It's like, what are you doing, man? Like, get out of here. Like, you're the worst. Pretty much just perfectly illustrating how, like, the Eastern continent, like, sees Westerosi people.
Just like, ugh, it's like, barbarians.
Yeah, you guys are just, like, feudal, like, pricks. Like, but, yeah, I don't know. Sam and Gilly scene, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I mean, it was adorable. Good props to the actors. I just want to see Old Town. I love world building, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, I want to see Old Town because I want to meet, what's his face? I want to meet Archmaester Marwyn. Yeah, that guy's tight. I'm not going to say anything about him yet, but we'll meet that guy. Also want to get a little, get down to business.
What's on some what history lessons?
I want to see what the Maesters are all about.
Yeah.
Because it's hinted at in the books.
Because all we've got since Maester Luwin died is just Grandmaester Pycelle, a lot of him, and he's awful. So,
yeah, or the dude who, like...
Oh, sorry, Maester Aemon, too, but, like...
Yeah, well, and the guy who wanders into Ramsay's, like, room, and it's just like, hey, guys, you it's have like, a brother now. Good like, news.
Oh, you just killed... I mean...
Oh, you just killed your dad.
My lord, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, weird.
Oh, and I guess the... There was that, like, maester in the white cloak who got murked in that, like, Dorne coup scene.
Oh, God.
That was so funny.
The Dorne coup scene can blow me. It's such a waste of time.
But okay, we've been jerking around it. Right. Probably the biggest shout-out of fan service the community's received, just watching a swinging body of that fucking kid.
Oh, Ollie. Yeah, that was amazing.
I love how they kind of spit in our faces, too. That's like, oh, we gave you what you want, but I hope you also feel a little. Bad and
no,
like,
not at all. Kid sucks. It's time to go. He's a little bastard. He was like totally the worst.
He had no lines this season. Did you notice that?
He yelled.
Just yelled and grunted and tried to look like thuggish. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'm cool now. I'm the Watch.
It's the Watch.
The Watch is just an entity of, like, racist douchebags, and I am, like.
I embody that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, seeing Ollie die was very cathartic for me. I hope for John as well. He rage quit right after. which is interesting because, you know, they always talk about... There was actually speculation about that before. It's like, oh, but, like, your watch doesn't end until your death. So in this case, like, oh, John did die, so I guess he gets to quit.
Gets to go. Yeah. But, like, do you think he left? Because in the next scene... Okay... Greg, if you don't like hearing the next week on Game of Thrones shit, like, we're going to talk about that right now. Mm-hmm. Like, we see Sansa and Brienne enter the walls of Castle Black. So I don't think he's left Castle Black, right? Like, he gave Ed his cloak and just kind of looked back inside. Because he's not an idiot. He's not going to walk through winter in just, like, no clothes.
Yeah.
Like, no cloak, man. Like, you got to stay warm, so...
Yeah, but I guess he resigned, but he's also, like, the castle right now is being held primarily by wildlings who aren't nice watchmen, so he could probably chill there as long as he needs to.
Do you think that, like...
He also now, apparently, John on the low-key pretty much commands, like, the, like, second biggest army in the world now.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much.
Although,
right?
Yeah, although I don't know how big it is after, like, half of them were murdered.
In Hardhome. Yeah. True, but, like, I don't know. In the context of the books, at least, it's like, that's a lot of people.
When it's useful, too, because they're, like, are women and children, but, like, a lot of those women know how to fight, too, which is pretty chill.
Yeah,
so.
And, like, they've, like, they live in shitty situations. They're not, like, quote-unquote mouths to feed.
And I guess John is... Well, I guess the thing is, it wouldn't make no sense if John just, like, in the... You know, tried to break his vow and just like, oh, I have to be Jon Stark and like save everyone because that just I think doesn't match his character. But now they just died and free to do that. Do you think they're just kind of lining him up to be like, I'm gonna take back the North, or do you think they're gonna send him north to deal with more White Walker shit?
I think him and Ramsay are gonna fight and we're gonna get White Walkers at the end of the season.
Okay. Okay.
I think season 8 you're gonna get a big time John kill Ramsay thing, and it's gonna be very cathartic for everybody. And
okay,
I'm sure Rickon will get flayed endlessly.
I hope not. Okay. Can we talk about that for a quick second? I really want the Umbers this to just be a lie, and I thought it was until I saw Shaggy's dog's head.
Unless that's the same thing that they did with Davos in the books. Should we get to book speculation now?
I think we should. Thanks for listening to this segment, guys. unfortunately, the next segment is also the two of us. We're the worst.
Exactly.
So. You guys are awesome, and we're going to take a beat. There'll probably be a transition. Is your chain on, Joey?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good. Valyrian Lynx, let's rage.
Valyrian Lynx indeed, because so much book fandom, I think, just poured from this episode. And let's just dive right into what I've been waiting for seasons. Is I love Sir Arthur Dayne, the Sword of the Morning.
Yeah. And I mean, giving him two swords, though, was a little bit of a disappointment in some ways. I thought it was kind of stupid, just because he's supposed to have, Dawn is supposed to be so dope.
Yeah.
We forged this out of, a falling star. That is so fucking sick.
Yeah, the description is its blade is milk, milk glass, white, or whatever. Yeah,
whatever the hell milk glass is.
Yeah, it's because George R. R. Martin loves food metaphors.
He sure does.
And it's look, basically, George, it's supposed to have the properties of Valyrian steel, but look nothing like it, right?
Yeah, and not, exactly, and be, unique in terms of its forging.
Yeah, and I guess he had it there, because there was that one sword he, put in the ground with, the sun on it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm guessing he's just wielding one epic sword and one, normal one?
It's somehow he's wielding what is supposed to be a great sword, and then a long sword. Yeah. Which is impossible.
Which is preposterous.
That's like barbarians in Diablo 2.
Yeah.
Holding giant axes.
Yeah, impossible. That being said, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it just by virtue of the fact that he did wreck some shop. And it was good to see. Although, we didn't get that scene with Lyanna. And I actually thought that they probably could have went a little bit further. And they could have given us, Lyanna at least, if they had maybe stopped Bran initially when he was popping up the stairs, but he had got there just at that time that Ned always remembers, where he says, I promise, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they would have had to conceal the fact that Ned had a baby in his arms, probably.
Yeah, I think also they're trying to push more at this whole, did Bran say something to Ned there?
Yeah, which is interesting, because, the implications for that, and it sounds like What's-His-Face isn't really giving up some details that he probably could, in that situation, because Bran's like, hey, yo, that's all well and good, you don't want me to see this, that, and the other thing, but my dad turned around when I yelled
at him. Oh, it's the wind.
And it was the second time that's happened.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess my thing is, I think the, Blood Raven's right, because, in the book, he describes, his attempts to communicate with the past, right? And failing at it.
I can't remember that, really. It's possible, though.
Just feel like he explains it, well, obviously, because we have the time and the power of written word.
Yeah.
To get more explanation from him that would just bore the fuck out of, an audience when this is one snippet of, 12 places we have to be in the world. But, I think the thing is Bran is more powerful than him, and he knows that, but he doesn't want Bran to, necessarily know that yet. He wants to make sure his rise is a, controlled one.
Yeah.
Because he definitely has endgame shit.
And if Bran also just starts, changing the past, then who the fuck knows what's gonna go on? If we get, a Days of Future Past element to Game of Thrones, how confusing would that be?
I'd hope that does not happen. I hope Bran does get to communicate with people in the past, but it's to gain more information. He gets to talk to his dad,
But that exists outside of the timeline that we're, occupying.
Yeah, it's just, a flash memory. I don't know. It's like pensieving. No, because you can't interact with it.
Yeah, no, you definitely can't talk to people in pensieves, dude.
Well, maybe he's, We'll figure it out. I feel like they have to, there has to be more to this bullshit than it's just like, oh, his dad turned around.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not as involved as like a huge, huge plot point. It's more just like
a giant like, oh, in this different world, like Jon Snow is king.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
Holy shit. We totally in the last segment forgot to talk about Arya getting her eyesight back.
Whatever.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
Also, I'll be real. The House of Black and White,
Don't give a shit.
Not sure I give a shit. I don't really care.
I care about Arya. I just want it to, like, you know the underpants gnomes? It's like, well, the first step is collect underpants. So the first step is believe in Arya. Then the House of Black and White has all these fucking question marks and nightmareness. But the third step is murder people, which is awesome.
That's that profit.
Yeah. Profit.
Except, dude, I mean, what I gathered from the last episode, though, is that Arya is going to be sent to kill, like, her brother or something.
Did you really? I thought you were joking.
No, I was not joking.
Well, you're just like, God, wouldn't it be so them if they sent Arya to murder Jon because he's robbed the Red God?
Yeah, no, I 100%.
Maybe it's Melisandre. What if it's Melisandre? Because she performed the spell.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. That'd be fine. I wouldn't mind that. It's like, Melly's pretty much served her purpose at this point in time. Like,
we don't need more shitty prophecies from her.
Yeah, and she pretty much knows it, too. She's like, oh, word. I brought back the prince who was promised to life. Like,
I can rest now because I'm fucking old.
Yeah, I mean, that's she did a really good job. Like,
because she led an entire branch of a house to ruin and killed a little girl. But yeah, cool. I guess John's back.
Yeah, he is back.
I'm sorry. I love Stannis.
No victory without sacrifice.
I love Stannis and I love Shireen.
Yeah, Reading Rainbow.
And they just. Oh, sorry. I guess very emotional.
Yeah. Well, I thought Stannis was such a good character. I hated to see him go, but I don't know. I definitely think Arya is going to be sent to go kill a Stark.
Okay.
I bet that's like part of the like ritual.
Become no one. Blah.
Yeah, which is like the worst. The House of Black and White sucks so much dick. It's like, come on. And also, like, what has she really learned other than, like, getting her ass handed to her?
Well, I guess like, she learned how to smell poisons.
Sure.
That's what it looked like in that one scene. Like, oh, she's just powder. I can't eat it. It's bad for me.
Amazing. She's unstoppable now. It's one of those things. It's just like, why?
Do you want to try dissect the whole, like, can we somehow tie what they're doing with the North into, like, a potential, like, Manderly Umber rebellion?
Well,
I want it to be because I hate the fact that the Umbers are like with Ramsay solely for the fact that like, oh, Jon Snow's led an army of wildlings. I hate wildlings. Back to that bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that everybody is just like so. It's like, yeah, it's the worst. It's so dumb. I mean, the fact they get a lot of mileage out of people hating the wildlings in terms of turning, like, generally normal people into douchebags. It's like, oh, but fucking wildlings, though, am I right?
Yeah.
Let's throw in our lot with Torture Guy. It's just like...
Right? That's what it is, though.
Torture Guy who killed your lord and, like, killed his dad and, like, tortured this person, like, into being a creature. And then... And then also showed his incompetence by letting his wife and his, like, torture creature escape. Like, wasn't able to get them back, so in a fit of rage, killed his dad, who's the only reason why they have the North in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know,
maybe they're just hoping for him to fuck up, and they just, like, want to, like, be around. Because apparently, like, the new thing to do in the North is just, like, if whoever is in charge dies and you're the closest person there, slash the person, like, who killed them, then it's just yours now. Which is, that's like that for me more than anything. And same thing with Dorne is like in terms of Showland is just like, who the fuck, like, what the fuck is that about? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, like, they're like kind of ruining parts of the world building that I really like. Cause it's bullshit to me that the Umbers would agree to this after like their dad. Like, they killed his dad at the Red Wedding, the Great John.
Yeah, exactly. No, like,
I guess maybe my big hope is, if this is going the way it is, Jon will be doing some northern politicking with the wildlings to get his army together. maybe there'll be some marriages, like he marries the Magnar of the Thens to someone in the a Karstark in the books. I don't think that specific marriage is going to happen.
Because, like, there's no way the show would ever bring in, like, Alice Karstark.
Yeah, no, like, no, not at all. But,
also,
maybe they mentioned Lyanna Mormont in a previous episode in that, like, quip about there's only, like, one king of the North and his name is Stark. So, like, maybe, like, connection there, Bear Island.
The little, like, 12-year-old girl Mormont.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. But, like, I hope Jon sends, like, Sansa to, like, White Harbor. Because they name-dropped the Manderleys in last episode. So, I want to see her get her politic games on. I want to see her, like, give this awesome epic speech about taking back the North. And then this fat Wyman Manderley's like, oh, yes, raise a glass.
Yeah, I'll eat to that. Yeah, classic.
And it's like, oh, we have a plan.
Yeah.
We have a plan to sneak in.
Yeah, or, I mean, or the Umbers could in theory be fulfilling a Manderley role here.
I hope so, and that wasn't Shaggy Dog.
And that was like, or it was Shaggy Dog, and they just killed the Direwolf in order to prove that Rickon was Rickon, so that they could get in Ramsay's good graces and then fuck shit up.
Yeah. Although that doesn't seem very Benioff and Weiss.
No, it really doesn't. Yeah. No, Benioff and Weiss, what it actually is going to be is it's going to be Rickon getting tortured for the next 5 episodes.
Oh, God. Or worse, Osha getting raped and tortured.
Oh, God.
I forgot she's there.
Damn it. It is the worst
that she's
there. God, could we not?
Why couldn't they have been to Skagos? We've spent so much time talking about Skagos
I know, yeah, exactly. How are you not in Skagos by now? You've been wandering around for, like, 3 seasons. Like,
yeah, as he gets taller and taller and still has no lines.
Yeah, exactly.
The last words we heard him say were season 3, the Red Wedding episode, where he, like, says goodbye to Bran, and Osha's like, oh, the Umbers are great warriors. They'll teach you how to swing a sword. And then he's like, I know how to swing a sword. And then that's it. They walk away.
Nice.
And since then, we still haven't heard him say a word. Just, like, have to face the fact that they beheaded his wolf.
I also don't understand how they go to the Umbers and they just bring him right back. That's so fucked up. That's just something that doesn't make sense. That's, like, so antithetical to what the North is about.
I know.
The North is behaving so southly.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah. It's, like, the whole, like, classic, like, thing with, like, how the North is represented in the books is that they don't do that kind of shit. They're like, no, man, you're, like, for sure, you're, like, kind of in charge.
We remember our friends.
Yeah, exactly.
The Karstark one is the only one, like, when that was set up, I totally bought that, because, like, you know, the beheading of the Lord. And, like, in the book, the Karstarks are kind of bitchy.
Yeah.
But when he dropped Umber and Manderley, I was definitely like, oh, tight, like, these guys are... There's going to be some scheming going on. And then I saw the next week on, it's like, oh, I brought you a gift. And it's like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, I also thought it was going to be Sansa at first. And I was like, yeah, are you really fucking doing this again? Like, but no, it's fine. They're just going to fucking do basically the same thing still.
Like, also like, how can that end
differently? Well. I don't know. Maybe Ramsay just doesn't torture Rickon.
Maybe Rickon kills Ramsay. No, that won't happen.
Yeah, that wouldn't
make sense. God damn it. Like, Osha will, like, try bang Ramsay and then kill him. Like, you know, she, like...
Dang. That'd be nice. And then, based on what I'm seeing so far, if Osha, if she kills Ramsay, she becomes king in the North. So, everyone will fall. Like, oh, all right, you're in charge now. It's the classic Sand Snake move.
Oh, God. Yeah, what's going on in the very, very North and the very, very South? Yeah. Just madness.
Yeah. Fucking garbage. So bad. So bad. And also, like, I mean, that kind of just is what it is. Do you think Clegane Bowl is going to happen in the show?
I kind of. They brought up the Hound again this episode because Arya was talking about him. She was like, did you take him off your list? It's like, yes. Why? It's like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, conflicted feelings.
Yeah.
But maybe, because they brought him up again, and we technically didn't see him die.
No.
And no character has confirmed that they've seen a body like him die. Like, where people at the end of last season were like, oh, Stannis is not dead. And then literally episode 1, right? Episode 1, Ramsay's just straight up like, yeah, my men found Stannis. Someone killed him. We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, it's Brienne, as she was, like, failing to do her candle duty. Yeah. But it ended up being fine because she somehow swooped anyway. Because
those dogs were just barking so loud.
Yeah, they were barking up a fucking storm. Classic Ramsay move. But I don't know. Everything that's going on in the North is really goofy. At least Jon's alive, so there's, like, some possibility of redemption. I have a feeling Jon's gonna be, like, just to be very, like, grim now.
Yeah. He's gone full nihilist.
Yeah. So, I think that probably doesn't bode...
Nihilism is an aspect of death.
I don't think it bodes particularly well for, like, Ramsay's crew. It feels like if Jon confronts Ramsay, Ramsay's gonna get fucking worked.
Yeah.
And also, Ramsay in the book Ramsay sucks at fighting.
Yeah, Show Ramsay is
pretty good at fighting, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, but there's that scene. He came out, like, shirtless with just, like, knives and, like, fought back, like, Ironborn. And
yeah. Like, which, like, in the books, it's like he's, like, very, like, violent, but he's, like, not particularly good at anything. Like, anyone who was, like, trained effectively with a sword would, like, kill him very promptly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, shit, I know we've been... it's hard, because normally we'd record these at two times, but let's end on... I want to go back to the Tower of Joy, because I love it there.
Word.
Do you think they would have been able to do it with Oswell Went, the third Kingsguard, as well as kind of trying to give more background to his companions? Because, like, it's hard to... For show watchers, arguably, but for us, it's like, we know, like, Ethan Glover was there, like, Brandon, his older brother, Squire, fucking Jory Castell's father was there,
yeah,
Martin Castle, and, like, I don't know, I really liked knowing all of that shit, yeah. And I was trying to match them to the actors on the screen.
Yeah, no, I was doing the same thing, like, the first thing when they popped up was, I was like, alright, which one of you is the shortest, like, who's Howland Reed? And
yeah.
Like, oh, they pointed out Howland Reed.
But it's like, oh, he has his own sigil there.
Yeah, but they don't point out the rest of them. And also, Howland looks just like a dude. He looks like a dude.
It's like, dude, you went to war in this outfit?
Yeah.
Everyone else is, like, at least padded leather and then probably chainmail underneath. Classic North.
Yeah, and he was wearing
plate mails, like, for fools.
He was wearing, like, his little, I don't know.
His Cranog, his Reed clothes.
Yeah. It's like he's just got a lot of, like, swatches. I don't know. It's a lot of shit up there. Like, just, like, a lot of, like, stray strings. Like,
but,
a sweater with a lot of strings that are loose.
I bet they cut the third Oswell Went mostly because I think they really wanted Sir Arthur to fight with two swords to just show, like, yo, I'm tight.
Yeah.
So that, like, stab moment stands out more. But I bet if they did have a third, the Oswell Went was there, he would have just fought with Dawn, his greatsword Dawn, and I think Ned would have brought ice.
Which,
although not bringing ice to Dorne is a very, like, Ned move, like, oh, what if I die? I don't want my greatsword of my family to, like, fall into ruin or something. Or,
like, to fall into the hands of these, like, idiot snake people.
Yeah.
As we
don't want another Bright Roar situation just lost to the smoking sea of Valyria.
Yeah. Also, yeah, classic Bright Roar. such a silly thing. It's like, oh, my favorite uncle, like, sailed to hell with our coolest thing and lost
it. Because Heartsbane is...
That's Sam's dad.
So we might see that.
We will.
And if Peter Baelish, who has yet to appear this season, is in the Vale, doesn't House Corbray House Royce has one, right?
No, House Corbray has one. It's, the something lady or Lady Forlorn.
Oh, yeah, Lady Forlorn.
Yes, I remember what the sword's called. Lots of people name their swords lots of cunts.
Lots of cunts. Yeah, but dude, I totally would name the shit out of my sword. Yeah,
reason 400 to bring back Sandor to fight Zombie Brother.
Oh, yes.
God, that'd be so dope.
Although, wouldn't, like, Clegane Bowl feature, like, a new Sandor who maybe doesn't curse as much?
Yeah, like a less cool version.
Maybe he's just a mute. Maybe it'll just be a battle of mutes.
So Sandor takes a vow of silence.
And Gregor just can't speak.
And Gregor can't talk because he's a zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I guess, do you think after sustaining injuries like that, he would still be able to fight? Like, isn't in the book, he's, like, kind of hoveled, right? He's, like, lame.
Who?
The cloaked figure on the silent, what are they called? The silent...
Sir Robert Strong?
No. The guy that people think is the Hound in the Isles.
Oh. No, he's. I mean, he's just digging and shit. He might be hurt. He might be a little bit lame, but I don't think that's permanent.
It's cool.
Yeah, he's just like in a big cloak, and he's like a little like crooked and like really big, and is digging graves as part of an act of repentance, presumably for the bajillion people that he murdered. Which also is not even confirmed, but it's like a rumor that's like more likely than others, I would say.
Yeah.
Just because the Hound is just such an electric character, you can't get rid of him. Like, the Hound is great. Everybody fucking likes the Hound.
And Arya, I hope they like meet up again. They probably won't, but maybe.
Ooh, what if the name that they give Arya is actually the Hound?
Oh. That's. And then she has to go to the Isle. Of these people. I don't know. I just want to see more of the Riverlands.
Maybe that's, damn it. That's the final test, that she has to go to the Silent Isle or whatever and like decide whether or not she likes the Hound or her death cult more.
Yeah.
Although also I thought that Arya was... I almost seemed at the end of that scene with Arya that she had been like completely brainwashed.
Yeah.
And that she was actually doesn't exist anymore.
But I don't know. I think because she still has Needle hidden somewhere. They haven't... I thought... To me, she would have been fully brainwashed if they, like, made her find it and throw it away. So my thing is, like, I totally believe that they're just, like, it's one of those things where we have to beat you down into no one. Otherwise, you can't become a faceless man. Like, you literally can't drink this water unless you are no one. And blah, blah, blah. But Jaqen wouldn't have promised her to be able to take those names if, like, she wouldn't actually be able to take those names, I think. So I think this is just all part of the training. It's just being done very stupidly.
Oh, really? I think it's like, I don't know. I think she's going to be... I think Arya, it would be classic them to have Arya become irredeemably not herself anymore.
I guess this is like, the season of never, all about that.
Yeah, and just never be Arya again. Just be like a faceless assassin that kills all of the people who are your favorites. So that you're like everyone who's excited for Arya to become this.
Never,
like,
never be
person.
A showrunner, Joey. That's okay. One of the cruelest things I've ever heard.
Well, I mean... It would be so. It would be classic, dude.
Would it be classic?
I don't know. It'd just be such a Thrones thing to just send Arya like out on a death mission to kill all the people she loves.
All right, fair enough. But all right. Well, did you want to end with a little speech about Maester Marwyn, and then we'll wrap this up for the day?
Oh, I mean, Archmaester Marwyn. They're going down to Old Town now. Something to look out for. Archmaester Marwyn's like a kind of like a rogue college professor down in the college professor town, who implies A, that a bunch of the maesters pretty much were responsible for killing all the dragons / having them die out. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they poisoned them. Maybe they didn't. But the dragons were gone. A lot of people blame the maesters for it. I actually think it's mostly they just burned all of the copies of the only book that talked about how to keep them alive / like breed them. And so they just kind of, like, using knowledge, kind of just, like, got magic out of the world so that, you know, they could teach boring subjects. But Archmaester Marwyn's, like, the antithesis to that, and he wants to, like, go help Dany out, and he's just, like, a total baller, and he's like, oh, magic, I'm fucking around with this now because it exists again. And he's dope, so I want him to come in because he's pretty lead. Not to mention, there's a lot of great casting options for him. He's, like, this, like... surly, probably British dude. Like,
I hope they don't cut him.
Yeah, me
they
too.
They can't, right?
Me too, he's cool.
They can't, because Sam's going there to learn about... Well, I mean, learn a lot of shit, but he's going there with the intent to learn about how to defeat a magical force. So,
yeah.
Maester Marwyn intersection makes sense.
Yeah, and like when Sam runs into Archmaester Marwyn in general, he's like, it's a good thing that I basically knew you were coming here because I used magic.
Yeah.
And then had you brought it to me.
He's looking through like a...
glass candle.
The glass candle, that's what it's right.
Yeah, so he just like knew Sam was coming and was like, all right, send this guy to me. He's like, yeah, if you had just said all the bullshit you just told me by me just asking you to anyone else, they would have killed you. Like, so,
the maesters like the status quo.
The maesters love the status
quo. They do a really good job of it. Again, more DVD extras of the show. There's one where Qyburn explains who the maesters are and kind of makes them sound like status quo, just like, nah, I'm brilliant, they're not.
Yeah.
And then there's one where Pycelle describes dragons, and it's very much like, oh, dragons were a formidable foe, but if Daenerys Targaryen returned to Westeros with her dragons, she would not face the scared denizens of Aegon's conquest, but men who have seen dragons bleed, dragons burn, and dragons die. It's like, oh, very Pycelle.
Yeah, Pycelle sucks.
I'm sorry, audience. There's so many of me of just imitating quotes from the show. I apologize.
Yeah, for sure. Not even from the show, but from that, like, weird other thing.
You know you like them.
I think it's pretty tight. Right. Nate doesn't like them.
Nate doesn't like them. All right. Whatever. Awesome, guys. Thanks for another wonderful episode of Talk Sex with Podrick Payne. We'll probably not get any more responsible than this, so never expect this on Tuesday.
Yeah, true that.
Peace out.
Take it easy.